All right, welcome back to the Local Business Podcast. Melvin from Doughboy Donuts is my guest today, and we're going to talk about starting a business. Melvin has a great story. He started Doughboy Donuts from his house and grew it into what it is today. And if you follow them on Instagram, you can see they have a great product. They have a great fan base. They do a great job of marketing their business, but it started really, really small. And he made a lot of mistakes along the way. And he talks about those mistakes that he made along the way and what he would do differently if he was starting the business today. So this is a great story about starting a business and, you know, really persevering through the hard times and knowing what the end goal is and working your butt off every single day to get to that end goal. So it was a fun chat with Melvin. Go check him out, Doughboy Donuts on Instagram, and give him a follow and let him know you heard him on the Local Business Podcast. And by the way, before we get into today's episode, if you haven't yet, go sign up for our email. You can find that over at thebruceirving.com/email. We send out an email newsletter for local businesses all about what's happening in the world of tech, social media, marketing, anything a local business needs to know to be ahead of the curve when it comes to promoting and marketing your business and really surviving through the tough times that we're in right now. So if you haven't yet, smartpizzamarketing.com/email, go subscribe to our email newsletter. We don't sell anything in there. It's all 100% value. And I highly recommend you go sign up because you will enjoy reading that email every single week. All right, let's get into today's episode right now. All right, welcome back to the podcast, everybody. Melvin Robertson from Doughboy Donuts is joining me on the show. We're going to talk his story, what he's doing for marketing. He's doing a great job marketing his business, a little bit of what we're going through right now in the times as well. So first of all, Melvin, thank you so much for taking the time out and joining me on the podcast. I know you're busy.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm very, very excited for this.
So let's hear your story. So you make great looking donuts, by the way, on Instagram. You can follow you on Instagram at Doughboy Donuts if you want to go check out what they're doing. But they look amazing. How did your entrepreneurial journey start?
I actually been in the service industry for a while, since I was 16. So it's back in 99. My uncle was a restaurant manager at Razoo's here in DFW and got me started. So that got me into it, and it was fun. It was a different environment, and especially Razoo's back in the day was a little more crazy than it is now. If you don't know, Razoo's is a Cajun restaurant based around kind of New Orleans, Louisiana themed. And, you know, Mardi Gras parties and things like that. And those were some of the wildest things I'd seen as a kid at that point. So back then, late 90s, early 2000s, it was kind of no rules with what went on around those parties. So being a kid was pretty wild to see that. But I don't know. It was just something that sucked me into the industry. And I stayed in it. I tried to do different things. I'd worked in different jobs and done different things after that. But it just pulled me back in. So most recently I was at a steakhouse, a finer dining steakhouse here in North Texas. It's Canadian based. So it was a corporate location, but was waiting tables, became a trainer pretty quickly. And then from there I was a dining room manager, bar manager, kitchen manager. And then, I don't know, it was something about being in the management role and being around all those other corporate individuals and other managers. Everyone just had a different mentality than anything I'd ever come across. And then kind of, I'd own a bar as well. So a friend of mine that I'd worked with, her husband, found this bar. This guy had, you know, pretty much outfitted the entire thing and needed someone to take it over. And so me and her husband did that. And then we had some communication issues. And so I ended up stepping away from that, and it just hurt me. I lost a bunch of weight. I wasn't eating. Just mentally and emotionally, it was just, I don't know. It was just having that taken away was just gut wrenching. And,
when was that?
This was in 2014.
Okay.
When he and I decided to part ways. So, 2014, early 2015 in that time. And then, I decided to step away from that, and I was just kind of figuring out what I wanted to do, but just having that taste of having my own thing and doing my own thing. And I don't know, it was just different. It was almost like a drug, you know what I mean? It was just,
yeah.
It was risky just risky. And, but I don't know, it was something about it that I just loved the thrill of that. And having that responsibility and building something from the ground up, it was just something that was just about it that was just, exhilarating and like addicting. So I had heard about this place in St. Louis that had these donuts, and I was still working at the restaurant, you know, through the bar and everything. And I had heard about this place in St. Louis that did these crazy donuts that had Oreo toppings and bacon, and they had like pie crumbles and compotes and stuff. And I'm like, man, that is crazy. You know, my family and I, we love our sweets, you know, even my children now, they love their sweets. So, it's all about dessert. But, I was like, man, I got to find a place like that here in Fort Worth. And I was looking and looking, and there wasn't one. And so I shared a story with my mom, and she was like, you know, sounds cool, you know, whatever. And, I had told her, I want to go check this place out in Dallas. There was a place in Dallas that did it. So we went and tried it out, and I was like, you know, I think I can do better. And she's like, what do you mean you can do better? And so I told her, like, I want to do this, that, and the other. And then I also told her I'd actually started the business without even making the donut. She thought it was insane. Both of my parents were just like, man, you are crazy. How you start a business without knowing what you're doing in the product? And I'm like, oh, it can't be that hard. You know, it's just donuts. So
wait, so you started the business before you ever actually made a donut?
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Pretty wild. I had this guy make a logo and everything, and I made my social media page, and yeah, pretty much all the first posts that we had on social media were just kind of like our test photos, yeah, and stuff like that. So
where'd you make them?
Sorry, my timer on the light is going out. At my house, my parents' house, we did a lot of trial runs. So I think the first one we did was Oreo. We had Last Call. The Oreos is a vanilla glaze. It's got chopped Oreo cookies. The Last Call was something that I had kind of gotten inspiration from another donut place. It's a Nutella, peanut butter, and maple syrup glaze. It's got coconuts, chocolate chips, Oreos, and pecans in it. The sriracha maple bacon was kind of my baby that I created. Everybody's got a maple bacon donut.
Right.
I wanted to have a little bit of a kick to it. I like heat in all my food too. So
you're in Texas too, right?
Yeah, we're in Texas. Yeah. So you got to have something spicy in there. Right.
Where did you get your recipe from? Like the original recipe?
So I did a copycat Krispy Kreme recipe.
Okay.
On Google. I just looked it up, copycat Krispy Kreme.
That's awesome.
It called for scalding milk and all these other things that were, at that time, I'm like, what the hell is scalding milk? I don't know what that is. Milk's expensive. I was burning a lot of milk to get to that point. And then I tried three or four other recipes after that. And then I said, screw it. Everybody, you know, people don't notice, but a traditional donut shop, they use a bag. It's a bag mix. And they add it, they add yeast, they add water, mix it up, and it's dough.
Right? So they don't usually, like, they don't combine their own flours. They kind of just use a pre-made one.
Yeah. So the majority of donut shops out there are just it's a mix, and even their cake donuts, it's a mix. Add water, and you know you're good to go, and yeast and whatever else. So I tried that too, but it didn't feel real. It didn't feel right. You know, even cooking at home, growing up, everything we did was from scratch. We didn't do box cakes. We didn't do box mixes. We did everything from scratch, and it's a pain. Can I cuss or no?
Oh yeah, of course.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it's a pain in the ass, but the added benefit, you know, when you bite into it, you know it's something homemade, made from scratch. You just tell the difference. So
yeah, so we do another podcast. It's called Smart Pizza Marketing, where we talk a lot about pizza. And the dough from donuts and the dough from pizza has like a lot of, I don't want to say they're not similar, but like how you create the dough, and like that's the most important part of the product. And
absolutely,
it's very science. Like different. Yeah, it's science. It's like everybody has a different recipe and everybody has a different philosophy when it comes to the recipe. So it's interesting to hear that perspective about the dough from the donuts.
Definitely, and the slightest thing can alter your recipe or alter your flavor or your consistency and your texture, things like that. You know, it doesn't take much to throw that off. So I actually got with my aunt, who is my uncle, who I mentioned before. His aunt is a pastry chef. So we were all working things together. My mom is a phenomenal baker also. And so we kind of put our brains together and came up with this recipe, which is a combination of all the other test recipes I had, plus adding a few extra things in. And then that's how you get Doughboy Donuts. So there's not another recipe like ours that's out there. There are some similar. There's others that might be about the same. But, you know, our recipe is our recipe. So.
Yeah, that's good, though, because it makes you unique. It makes you different. Absolutely. Like, I think everybody's trying to look for, especially when you're a business that has other businesses that are trying to compete with, whether you're a donut shop or a bagel shop or a pizzeria. Like, there's a lot of other of those shops out there. So you have to make your product different. Otherwise, what's the difference? People are just going to compete on price.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Totally. How long did it take you to perfect the recipe you have now?
Probably a little over a year.
And you were open during all this time?
Yeah. We were doing that. So in the beginning, I was still working my restaurant job, and I was working, you know, 60 plus hours a week as a KM. And so I was doing, like I did a friend's post-wedding. Like the next day, they went out and they went to this wine bar with all their family and friends after they got married, and I brought donuts. So like brunches, things like that, special events, birthday parties, work events. I was doing that stuff from home. So in Texas, it's cottage law. You can bake or cook from home. And there's certain rules that go along with that also.
Yeah.
What I was doing, I was just doing it from home. And then I was like, man, you know, there's gotta be a way for me to get out there more, because we started gaining more and more popularity. And my wife was pretty pissed because there was a mixer, a stand mixer in the kitchen. I had a donut fryer. I had a bunch of small donut fryers. I started making them two at a time, which I thought I was doing something cool at that point. But they're overproofing at that time. And if you know pizza, you know you can overproof things and stuff. So I didn't understand overproofing, underproofing, things of that nature. So frying two at a time takes forever. And then I thought I was hot shit. And I got another fryer. So then I was doing six at a time. And I'm like, yeah, now we're really rolling now. You know what I mean? But then I got a Belshaw, which was doing, I think, 16 is that one. It's a stand or tabletop.
In your house?
In the house, yeah.
That's amazing.
In the house. I set it on top of my
stove. God bless your wife. My wife would kill me.
She hated it. I set it on top of the stove and cut on the fan. And I was just the whole house was just smoky. And it was pretty bad. Everybody's eyes were burning and the kids hated it. And so, but yeah, then I decided to do a food truck. I figured that I could do it on my off days, or, you know, it would be easier than just, you know, doing it from the house.
Right.
I can just say a food truck's going to be here on this day or that day, find a location. I didn't know anything about food trucks, and I thought it would be pretty easy. But it wasn't. So of course.
Where'd you find your first food truck? Did you like get a food truck that was already existing and kind of convert it?
Yeah. I found through a family friend of ours connected me with a woman who was trying to sell her food truck. And that truck had sat there for a year or two at her house. And I probably should have got a different truck, but it was something about this one that had character, I guess you can say. And I just really loved it and had a lot of issues. We still have it, which is great. But yeah, we converted it, and we were the North Texas's first donut food truck.
Wow. Where'd you go? Like, where did you get up? Where'd you set up shop in the food truck?
The first place we went was Kit & Co., that same wine bar that my friends had their post-wedding celebration at. It's on Magnolia Street in Fort Worth, which is kind of real laid back, kind of hipsterish street.
Yep.
So just something that would welcome a gourmet donut, a fancier donut, things like that. That area. Yeah. The first time we went out was my mom and I. We didn't understand. Well, I didn't understand generators, so I had a 400 watt generator that I needed something three times that size. But we had we were blowing fuses and tripping things all over the place. So we were unplugging things and plugging. Moving around and stuff like that. So
I'm sensing a pattern with you, with like, you don't even like, you just do it right. And you're like, you're going to figure it out on the way. You're going to build the plane and fly it on the way down.
I'm a lot better now. I'm a lot better now.
That's how you learn though. That's how you do it. Yeah. Like, I think that's a lot of people, and even people I've talked to on the podcast, and especially people who listen to the podcast, overthink it, right? Like, instead of doing it, they'll think about it for years before they do it. And then, even though you think you have it all figured out, it's going to be completely different when you get started.
Right. Correct. And around the time I started, another guy was starting it in town. So we were kind of head to head, and it was kind of a rat race to see who did this first or that first or whatever. And I had all these grand ideas, and I'm sure he has and had some as well. And we didn't want to step on each other's toes, but at the same time, we wanted to be the first to kind of get out there and do that. So there was definitely a race for that. So that added to it a lot.
Right.
As well.
What was the hardest part for you getting started? Like, what was the, if you could go back and tell your younger self something, what would you have told them?
Probably be a little bit more patient, do a lot more research.
Yeah.
A lot more homework. I think the way it launched off was pretty cool. We did we had a lot of growing pains, but I think those growing pains set us up for where we are now, to where we're doing pretty well. On the truck, you know, we've done a lot of events where we didn't sell any donuts, or we go and sell 10 donuts. Or,
really?
You know, yeah, I'd waste my entire day going somewhere, or I'd drive across town and you think, oh, it's going to be an awesome event. And someone's like, hey, I got 1,000 people coming to my event. We want you to be our dessert vendor. And you show up and there's, you know, 30 people there and nobody's hungry, or they're giving away free food at an event. Things like that. Just doing your research, doing your homework so that you're not wasting your time. And people are always like, you know, time is money and don't waste my time. I'm busy. You know, I'm a businessman, this and that. And, you know, I don't know. It always came across as being kind of weird because I didn't really understand that. But definitely I get that now, where I don't like people to waste my time. And I tell people that, like, you know, I have a million things to do. And, you know, something like that where I'm going to go out and make $20 is not worth my time. And,
yeah.
No, and you know, not all money is good money, and just keeping that mentality that, you know, you got to have a certain number that you need to hit before you can be successful. And, you know, don't just take $100 to take $100, because, you know, you have to jump through hoops to get it. It's not worth it.
Yeah, like that's something that only comes with experience though, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Sometimes tough experience.
Oh yeah.
Who in the donut industry? So like, again, I keep coming back to, like, I grew up in the pizza industry, and there's always people or businesses like the pizza community kind of looks up to for leadership, and like they're the forefront people of experimenting or doing cool things. Like, who is that person or company or people in the donut industry, if there is any?
For me personally, I look at people, but I look at more of the big city guys. I look at the New York cities,
yep,
Chicago's.
So kind of like the pizza too. That's kind of what they do in the pizza game.
Yeah. So I look and see what they're doing as far as flavors and other little things. Anything that I can do to separate myself. And, you know, it's Texas, and there are a bunch of gourmet donut shops here. And there's one from Miami who was really popular, who just came to Dallas. So I haven't had a chance to try them yet, but I'm excited to. But it's just being different. Like you said, you have to separate yourself from your competition. So what can you do differently? You know, we don't do letter donuts, or we don't do sprinkles. We don't do food colorings. I don't have any food colorings back there. Things like that. And people ask for that kind of stuff. And I'm like, you know, I'm sorry. You know, we want to be a real donut. We don't, no gimmicks, no fillers, no BS. That's not our thing. We just want to be an authentic donut with great and with great flavors and great profiles, and just keeping it like that. You know, there are a lot of places like that around town that do, you know, the cute things, and the, you know, that's just not our thing.
You
know?
Want it to taste good versus look good.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's more important, right? Like,
absolutely.
The visual will only get you so far, but if you bite into the donut or whatever it is you're eating, it tastes like crap, it's gonna be all over, no matter how pretty it looks.
There you go.
Where what did you, so you have a brick and mortar location now though, right?
Yes, we're brick and mortar on Camp Bowie in Fort Worth. It's on the, it's west of downtown.
How was that opening for you? Like, when did you open the brick and mortar?
Almost 2 years ago. August 15th of 2018 was our first day that we opened. It was cool. It was the first week. we got delayed because of construction and things like that.
Yeah.
But it was like the first week of school, which was the dumbest thing ever for us to do. And we were excited to open up, and another one of those things where we weren't thinking clearly. But the first few weeks were very, very solid.
Busy?
And then it just, yeah, very busy. And then it just dropped off. It was a tough pill to swallow. I had a lot of staff fell off, and I couldn't afford to pay people, and I could barely afford to pay myself. And my parents work here with me as well, and they didn't get paid until recently. It was one of those things, and there were some days we might not get anyone in until 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. Yeah.
Why do you think that was?
You know, we're not, the location we're in isn't, it's not tucked away. It's on a busy street, but you really have to stand out to be noticed. And with the way the street is, it's hard to kind of stick out. That word of mouth marketing, we could have done a better job initially, but we just didn't have the money to invest in that. So it was me doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I just recently had someone take that over, to take that load off of me. I think he took over in like January or February. And that's a good friend of mine. So
he does your social media, I mean, like Facebook and Instagram and stuff.
Yeah. He's doing an incredible job.
Yeah.
So I still have a hand in a lot of it, but as far as posting and a lot of the responses, it's him. I'd like to completely hand that over to him to kind of take that load off of me, but we're getting there. Yeah, I wish I would have spent more money in marketing and advertising initially. That would have definitely helped us out more.
I always tell people, because they always ask me, because we do like a, it's like, it's not a marketing podcast, but we do talk a lot about marketing and like business growth, and people always ask me like, or not that they ask me, but like they'll say, oh, like I got slow and I stopped my marketing just to save money. And I always tell them, like, listen, stopping your marketing to save money is like stopping your watch to save time. It yep. just doesn't go together, right? Like, you think you're doing something to save yourself money, you're actually hurting yourself in the long run, because if nobody knows you're there, no one's going to come into your business, and then you're really going to be hurting.
Right.
You could have the best product in the world, but if nobody knows about it, nobody knows about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's definitely it.
What's been your best marketing strategy? Is it social media?
Social media, for sure. Being consistent in posting, being consistent with the product also, and a lot of word of mouth. With everything that's going on in the country now and the injustices and things like that, there is a huge DFW Black-owned restaurant group on Facebook.
Yeah.
They've got, it's only a few months old, but I think that first week or two, they had got up to over 100,000 or 200,000 people joining things. So there was a huge push behind that. And it's not just Black people coming out and supporting, but it's people of all races, creeds, and walks of life and things like that. And again, it's just being consistent. People eat with their eyes, so making sure that everything looks good going out, and making sure that everything tastes great as well. That's definitely the big thing. So I'd say word of mouth and marketing are neck and neck.
So for a donut business, is it the people eat donuts like multiple times a week, or how does it? Is it hard to get repeat customers because is it like a one time a month thing, or how often do they come back to you guys?
So we get people who come every day. I see some people every single day.
Really.
Yeah, there are some I see every week. There are some I see twice a week. Right now, we're Thursday through Sunday. So you might see them on Thursday and Saturday, or Friday and Sunday, or Friday, Saturday. We do online ordering, so I recognize not a lot of the names. I see every order that comes in personally. So yeah. I recognize a lot of the names that do come through. It's really cool. Sorry, I just lost my train of thought.
No, so we were talking about you know, repeat customers, and is it easy to get repeat customers and following up with them? What point of sale system do you use for your business?
Square.
Square? Didn't they have like an email? Do you do any email marketing or anything like that?
Actually don't, but we're getting into that. That's something that my marketing guy is, we're building that list.
Yes.
Because we do track people that do come in. We have their numbers, their emails, and stuff like that. And we want to slowly roll that out there. So a lot of people are worried about having their information out there in the world. And we don't want to piss them off by sending them marketing stuff all the time. So we're trying to do a once a month thing and throw a little bit of a discount, or hey, we're having this new flavor or that as well. And it goes back to that. We have we rotate our flavors every month, so we got nine that stay on the menu.
Yep.
But then we rotate three flavors out each month, so that brings people in. And then we also do a lot of savory as well. So if you've seen the social media, we got the donut breakfast sandwiches, we got a burger. We did a French toast last week with the blueberry syrup and fresh strawberries. The Princess Peach was probably our most successful feature. That was a donut French toast. It had a peach infused cream cheese, and then it had powdered sugar and then brown butter peaches on top. That was a complete home run. We used peaches off the peach truck initially.
Really?
And then, yeah, we ran out of those really fast. So we had to find some Parker County peaches, which are in the Weatherford area here in Fort Worth, which are very, very popular. So, we're just trying to mix it up and separate ourselves from our competition.
Yeah.
Because, we do the same things, but we have a different business model by introducing a lot of the savory, the sandwiches and things like that.
Have you ever thought about, like, doing videos, like teaching people how to do donuts at home? Like, is that how you got started?
Yeah, it's a lot, though. It's a lot, and I'm trying to figure out how I can do that without sharing my recipe.
Yeah.
But
create a different one. Like, create a different recipe, like, that's not your proprietary one.
Yeah. And a friend of mine used to work at Central Market, and I've done two or three cooking classes with the donuts, and I gave a similar recipe out.
Yeah.
So I still have that around here somewhere. So I could definitely do that. And Yelp reached out to me about doing a donut class.
Yeah.
Interactively. So I'll be selling six packs. And then we'll address them. And
you can do that on your own. You don't even need Yelp. You do it on your own. Like, I know a guy who does that pizza classes. He does Zoom. He just goes on social media. He's like, hey, join me on Zoom. Has a link. It's like 10 bucks to sign up for the class. It gets like 20 people every session, and you teach people how to make donuts at home. That would be super cool for like kids at home.
Yeah, it would be really cool.
You're good on video too. Like, a lot of people, not a lot of people, but like, I don't want to call anybody out, but we've had some people on the podcast before, and they're like not very personable or good on video, and you're like, eh, maybe you shouldn't do a class.
Yeah, I try to be. I'm a socially functioning introvert, so
I know. I'm with you.
So my mom was like, work that Kool-Aid smile. Show them that Kool-Aid smile. Suck them in, and then you'll get them and all that stuff. So, yeah.
It's good. It's interesting to hear your story about how you opened the brick and mortar and you were busy right off the bat. Because I talked to another donut owner, Kamal, from Sublime Donuts in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And he was telling me his story when he first opened. He didn't even have any customers, and he opened his brick and mortar. And he's like, we didn't, you know, usually you walk into a donut shop and you see the donuts on the shelves and you can kind of pick what flavor you want by what they are. He's like, I don't have any money. I literally was making the donuts as people would order them. So they'd walk in and there'd be no donuts on the shelf because I couldn't afford to make any. Wow. He's like, that story of him starting like that was just unbelievable. So you're lucky that you kind of were busy off the bat.
And it's funny. It's funny. That's what we do. We dress our donuts to order as well.
Oh, do you? Yeah.
We on the food truck, we ran into issues. I didn't want people to just order. I didn't want to go to an event. Everybody want one flavor, and then we run out of that flavor.
Yeah.
So we figure, why don't we dress them to order? That way they know it's a personal experience. It's an experience to have this donut, and it's made for them. It was made right there. They get to watch the process, and then it limits my waste.
Yeah,
also.
Yeah.
So I'm not making a bunch of stuff, spending all the time and labor. You know, 25 of this, 25 of that, 25 of this, 25 of that, and then throwing all of it away because everybody wants peanut butter and jelly, or everybody wants an Oreo, you know. And so I didn't want to throw that stuff away because, you know, donuts are, they don't last, especially ours made from scratch.
Right.
They're meant that day, not a 2-day thing or anything like that. So, but yeah, that's funny you mentioned that.
Did you kind of find it where people kind of come in and they want to like create their own and you're like, come on.
Yeah, I try to steer people away from that. Some people want to do their own thing, and I'll let them know, like, I'll do it this time, but they're made this way, and they're paired this way with this glaze, or this way for a reason.
Right.
You know what I mean? So just try to stick to that if you can.
Yeah, people, obviously, all customers, and like a lot of customers probably aren't going to listen to this, so we can talk about them behind their back, but like a lot of customers think they know what's best, right? Like, never made a donut in their life, never opened a donut shop or a pizza shop or made a pizza in their life, and they know how to tell you how to do donuts or pizza. And they're like, you should do it 100%. This way.
I get messages all the time, and, oh, you should do this, or instead of this, you should do that. And I'm like, come on, man. Especially on Instagram, and you can see other people's pictures, and a lot of those people cook and things. And I'm like, dude, I saw your pictures, man. I saw that steak you had. It did not look good, or this or that. You know what I mean? So. Yeah, everybody thinks everybody's an expert, but you know, I take it in stride. It is what it is. So.
What's one thing you would change about your business if you could, now that you've been open for a little bit?
If I would change?
Yeah, if you could change anything about your business that you, it's hard to change now, what's one thing you would change?
Probably the layout of the space to make it a little more friendly. We lost our dining side due to COVID, and we gave that back to our landlords, but probably just the layout of that, the layout of the kitchen. I mean, honestly, there's not much that I would change, just things to make it easier for my staff.
Yeah, like knowing, going through the process now and knowing what you know now, you could just maybe make it a little bit more streamlined.
A little more streamlined, and maybe a bigger window for the guests to see the process of the donuts being made. Making it from scratch, seeing all that stuff. Our donuts are a little more dense. It's a different consistency than what your normal out of the bag or out of the box donut is. So if people can visualize that instead of just hearing the story, then it would save a lot of time also. So
is it hard to find employees or train employees where you are?
Yes, absolutely. I would say 3 out of 10 show up to an interview.
Yeah.
A lot of people just ghost, or we've been FaceTiming or a Zoom call interviews and people just don't respond or anything of that nature, which, I mean, I don't get it, but, and I finally have a staff now who is locked in, because they think donuts, oh, it's fun, it's cool, they look good on online, and but it's work, you know. We roll, cut, and fry throughout the day. All the sandwiches are dressed to order. All our donuts are dressed to order. You know, it's a fast casual restaurant, basically. It's a fast casual kitchen, and you have to have that pastry experience plus that fast casual boom, 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 get it out the window type mentality also.
Yeah.
You know, finding people to get that, it has been tough.
Yeah, I think it should be mandatory that every person, forget being in the military, I think every person should have to go work in the hospitality industry. You'd be such a nicer person if you've had to work there and more considerate and like be more passionate to people who are working in the hospitality industry if you were a server or a cashier or a cook or something like that.
Definitely. I totally agree. There's what it's been 22 years since I started, 21 years since I've started in the industry, and it's I would definitely recommend it. My kids would definitely be working in the service industry at some point. Just that they are. And they kind of get it now because of the things I've shown them and told them, but they're gonna do it for sure.
Yeah, my kids, my older, so I have three daughters in 18, 17, and 13. And my older two daughters just recently got a job at a place the street, like a cookie ice cream kind of place.
Yeah.
And the owner or the managers love them because they grew up in the hospitality business because that's what I did. So like I would always bring them to work and I'm always like, listen, you got to do the dishes. You got to start at the bottom and work your way up. And that's the only way you work your way up is sweeping the floor and washing the dishes. So like they're used to that.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And that's what I did too, was hostess and, or not a hostess, but I was a host and busboy and dishes and expo, all that stuff. And just having that knowledge and being able to communicate with guests that walk in the door, communicate with the kitchen, communicate with the managers, and getting adjusted to getting acclimated to speaking to people with all sorts of personalities and backgrounds and walks of life, that helps you in life to move through life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As opposed to dealing with one type of person or whatnot. So
yeah,
people who are pissed off
about
minute things or people who are just overly nice. And you know what I mean? You see the world a little bit differently. And in that, when you do have that kind of that experience,
100%. If you want to be a business owner, you need two skills. You need to be able to problem solve quickly, and you need to be able to put out fires fast.
Absolutely.
Like that's literally all you do. You problem solve and you put out fires, and that's you go through your whole day. Like if you've done those two things successfully all day, you had a good day.
I agree.
Sometimes you don't handle them so well, and it's a really bad day.
Yeah, definitely. But every day is a new day. Even when I wait a table, it's like a every table was a new table. It was like a brand new day. It was a full reset. So I never let what happened with the previous table affect the next one because you never know who you're waiting on. You know, my wife and I went out to dinner last night, and it's, you know, the girl was, she was pretty young and she wasn't very good, but it's just like, you never know who you're waiting on.
Yeah.
You know, I still feel that, but you know, it's just, you got to have that mentality.
It's hard because like that girl that you had at the table last night was probably new, right? And the owner probably had a 10 people that they planned on hiring and two or three people showed up and they got to deal with what they got to deal with. But you have to remember like that person who is talking to your customers is representing you as the business owner. You got to make sure that they know what they're talking about and they don't make you look silly.
100%. I tell my staff, they all have to be an extension of me. And when I know they can do that is when I feel comfortable, you know, because I've got front of house, back of the house, all sorts of experience. And a lot of these kids don't. So it's a lot of coaching, a lot of guiding, even my parents, they've never been in the industry before this. So it was me teaching them.
Wow.
Like, hey, you can't say those things. Like, you got to word it this way when you're speaking to staff, and like you don't own them, or like they're not your child. You know, it's me. You can talk to me like that, but these people will leave. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we need to coach, guide them, and build them up, and then they can be an extension of us. And then in the long run, that benefits us because that's something that we don't have to worry about because that person can handle that.
Yeah, it's like you said it perfectly there. It's like, when you work with employees, it's not just training them, it's coaching them too. It's like making them feel good about what they're doing, not just teaching them how to do something specifically.
Absolutely. 100%.
I love that. What are you most excited about? Like, what's coming up for you guys? What are you excited about in the future once we get out of this whole Corona thing?
Got some expansion coming. So I'll be mum on it for the most part. But yeah, we have some finally growing, which was always my thing. And I think even Kamal said that on one of his things, or someone said, I remember seeing an interview somewhere where they were saying that it's not just the one location, it's the multiple locations. When you're doing donuts, you're doing something at this price point. So that's what makes you successful, is being able to copy this from this location and move it to the next one and the next one after that and things like that. So I'm excited for that, growing and kind of getting out of just something different, being in a different environment and a different area will definitely be exciting and fun to kind of almost do the next one how this one should have been done, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we got a lot more experience under our belt and a lot more knowledge, and we look at things differently. So I think this next one's going to be a home run.
It's like Disneyland and Disney World, right? Like Disneyland is what Walt had to work with. Disney World is what he had, what he wanted to do if he had the space. That's exactly what you want to do, right?
Yes. You
like,
got it.
You're working in Disneyland now. You want to open Disney World. Like, I have the space. I have the knowledge. I got the expertise. That's what I want to do. I know how it works now.
Uh-huh.
Are you going to be just in the same area you are now, or are you looking to move otherwhere?
I think with the product we have, it's really universal, and it can be, I think there's a need for what we're doing, especially the savory. It'll be more, we'll still be donuts and Doughboy donuts, but we will have the savory aspect be a big part of what we're doing also. So it's not just, we want to be the one-stop shop. So a coffee program is not very good right now. So I'm looking at cold brews, kegerator, espresso machine to add to our PPA, because people come in with other people's coffee.
Yeah,
and it hurts my heart.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, would you like to drink coffee? Fresh squeezed orange juice. I'm going to go down the street to this place and get that. I'm like, oh, it just kills me. So we'll have that. We'll have the sandwiches. We'll have other things. We'll, you know, building up our merch, things like that to be that one-stop shop and to just be that full experience location. So you don't have to go multiple places to get what you need for, you know, if you're your family or whatnot.
Yeah. Have you ever looked into like Gold Belly or delivering your donuts to like other cities or states?
It doesn't travel well.
No.
That's my concern. And if I don't trust people who are handling these packages to not flip something upside down or this and that. And so if it was a quick, you know, it'll be there in a few hours type thing would be one thing, but if it's there in a day or two, I think the person who ordered it would be very upset with me. So in the future, possibly, but I need to figure out how I can make that happen.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a good, you know, as your brand grows and your Instagram and your social media profiles grow, it's probably going to expand outward from where you're located physically. So I'm sure you're going to have a lot of people start reaching out to you and be like, hey, do you deliver here or can you get them through the email?
I already have people in DC and New York, and I've had people in other countries like, hey, can you ship here? Can you ship there? And, you know, hey, my brother lives there. Tell me about you guys. Can you send them to me? And
yeah.
I'm just like, all right, I can't. Not, I could, but it wouldn't hold up the integrity of the product. You know, the heat traveling and this and that, it would just be a hot mess. So until I can figure that out, I would love to, but until I can figure it out, then I'm going to hold off. So
better strategy. That's probably one thing you don't want to go fast on.
Yeah. A few years ago, I would have done it. but now
you've learned. All right, cool. So Doughboy Donuts on Instagram. Where else can people go if they want to say hello to you or if they have a question after the podcast and they want to check you out? Where should they go?
Yeah. Instagram, Doughboy Donuts, Facebook, Doughboy Donuts. Our website is doughboydonuts.net. You can reach out to me there.
Where are you physically located if they're in the area?
4910 Camp Bowie Boulevard here in Fort Worth, Texas. It's on the bricks, so it's a very, very old area. They got old-timey bricks outside on the road, and we're across the street from the original Kincaid. So if you're from the Fort Worth area, you know where the original Kincaid's is. So we're directly across the street in the Arlington Heights neighborhood in Fort Worth.
Awesome. Melvin, it was great talking to you on the podcast. Don't hang up, but thank you for so much for taking the time out. I know you're a busy guy joining me on the podcast here.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, I can't thank Melvin enough for joining me on the podcast. I know he's super busy. Obviously, we're in a tough time right now when we're recording this episode, and a lot of these businesses are going through some weird times that they're trying to figure out. So I appreciate them putting all that aside and spending 30 or 45 minutes with me to record a podcast episode. Go check them out on Instagram, Doughboys Donuts on Instagram. We'll link up everything that you heard on this podcast episode over at thebruceirving.com. And again, if you haven't yet, go subscribe to our email newsletter. It goes out every Tuesday morning. All the tech, social media, marketing news you need to know in an easy-to-read, single-format newsletter that you could just open up Tuesday morning, read all that info, and you're good to go for the rest of the week. Not Smart Pizza Marketing, thebruceirving.com/email to sign up for that one. And say hello to me on Instagram as well, thebruceirving on Instagram. All right, guys, have a great week. We'll see you next time.